So everybody has a book that should have a book. Amen. We're going to get through another section of this today. And by God's grace, does it feel cold in here? Because the air, the heater just came back on. So it just, I don't know. So the heater thinks it's colder than what it actually is. I actually got down to 37 out where I was at.
Yeah.
Did anybody get any colder than 37? Yeah, 37 out there, so praise God. I'm just glad it didn't snow. I don't think I would have liked the snow. All right. In your books, you're going to be on page, what page is that, Miss Katie? 25 in your books. So if you got your book, you're going to be on page 25. And in your Bibles, Acts 16:31. Yep. That was our memory verse from last week, Acts 16:31. And last week we did Roman numeral 1, dealing with victory in a real faith. Mm-hmm. And we talked about victory over the culture. Mm-hmm. And how Timothy had to have the victory over the culture in the day that he lived in. And he had some things going against him. And the definition for culture was this: the beliefs, social practices, and characteristics of a racial, religious, or social group. And so we kind of looked at that last week and kind of got that pinned down. This week we're going to be talking about what we can do in addition to having real faith to get the victory over culture. And it's a very simple solution, and that is turn out godly children. Amen.
Amen.
That's it in a nutshell. Amen. That's it in a nutshell. So let's go to Acts 16:31, and we're going to quote that verse. Then we're going to actually dive into this week's lesson, Acts 16:31. That was a memory verse from last week. And by the way, this went right along with having a real faith. And I said this last week: the only way to have victory over culture is to have the victory in Christ. And to have the victory in Christ, I've got to have real faith. And if we're going to have real faith, I've got to have real salvation. Amen. And the Bible says that we need to be born again. Acts 16:31. Let's say the reference and quote that and then say the reference. Here we go. Acts 16:31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Acts 16:31. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together as a class. Lord, I pray you would gel our hearts, gel our minds together, that we would be able to retain some things from the Word of God and gain a blessing today. And Lord, I pray that your hand may be graciously upon us. We'll thank you for what you have done and what you continue to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. All right, let me let you fill in the blanks for Roman numeral 2 before we get started here. Roman numeral 2 is victory in a loving family. Victory in a loving family. So victory in a loving family. Everybody got that one? Victory in a loving family. And then the next one, A, is going to be wives encourage their husbands. Wives encourage their husbands. And then B is going to be husbands honor their wives. Husbands honor their wives. If you're not married, you're looking forward to this.
Honor your husband.
Yes, ma'am. Roman numeral 1, victory in a real faith. Victory in a real faith. Sorry about that. So Roman numeral 1 is victory in a real faith. Mm-hmm. A is, it was a faith that revealed God's love. Then B, it was a faith that removed fear. Okay? So Roman numeral 1, victory in a real faith. A, it was a faith that revealed God's love. B, it was a faith that removed fear. Everybody got Roman number 1, A and B? Okay. And then Roman number 2, victory in a loving family. Victory in a loving family. And A, wives encourage their husbands. B, husbands honor their wives. And then C, parents provide guidance. Parents provide guidance. Okay. Everybody's got those down? All right. By the way, let me start off by asking this question. A culture is made up of who? People. Where do people come from? Well, yeah, they do come from everywhere. But they normally come generally from a family. So it goes to say that if the culture is to be changed positively or negatively, then the family's going to have to do some shaping and molding of those children when they come out. And I always like to use Bev and Carl as an example because they bought in Lily. And Lily was very quiet and kept to herself. And Lily now has really come out of her shell, and what a blessing. What did that take? That took some grandparents to take an interest to say, look, let's help her out, get her exposed to Christ and Christianity, amen, and began to open up. And that's what it's going to be. That's how it's going to happen. And so in every culture, there is going to be people, and the people come from someplace. And the place that they come from, hopefully from a Christian background, is going to be from having a real faith, getting saved, and then getting our faith instilled in them. And so we come up to this Roman numeral number 2, victory in a loving family. Because if we've got real faith, and faith was revealed in God's love, and it was removing fear, then we can stand in this culture with our Christianity and tell people toe-to-toe about Jesus Christ and have their lives changed. Amen. It is something that we can do. So let's look at this one, number 2, victory in a loving family. Go over in your Bibles to Ephesians. And the Bible tells you the basics of a family here. Now, we're going to look at this more in the Christian Home Month next month, but I just want to touch upon something real quick. Ephesians chapter number 5. And we touched on this last week in the morning service with the armor of God as well. In Ephesians, it tells you the family structure. And notice verse number 21. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then what does verse 22 say? Who's got that? Katie? Okay, so the wives are to be submissive to their own husbands as unto the Lord. And then we come down to verse 25, and what does 25 say? Let me get a man to read that. Where's one of our men at? He's got 25. Men, where are the men? Come on, Shane. That's right, you can steal a man, so you can read that. Read 25. The other men don't want to read that for some reason, amen. What does that say? Amen. That's a tall order. That's why men are afraid of that. Amen. I got to love her like Christ loved the church. That's a lot of loving. Amen. And it is. By the way, the ladies always look at it, well, I got to submit. That's hard. No. It's easy to submit. I just have to fall in line and do whatever I'm told. It takes some work to love the way Christ loved the church. What did he do for the church? He died for it. Most men aren't willing to die. We want to live, amen, yeah. If the truth be known. Y'all looking at me like, no, we don't. Yes, we do. Stop that foolishness, amen. We want to live, but that's a tall order. He goes into a lot about that, and then chapter 6, verse number 1, he talks about the children. He says, children need to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, amen, and they're to honor their father and their mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So therein lies the family structure there. So victory in a loving family. So if I'm going to have victory in my loving family, that's going to be the basis of what's going to happen. The wife's going to be submissive. The husband's going to be loving. The children are going to be obedient. And if that happens, that's a happy home. Does that always happen?
No. Nope.
Hence, it's not really a happy home all the time. Amen. All right. So Timothy not only had the benefit of a heritage of faith, he also had the benefit of a family where love was present. Now, the Bible does not say that his father was saved. But it does say that his mother and his grandmother were saved, okay? So when you look at this, love makes the hard calls in the family. By the way, if you have love in the family, are there going to be some rules? Yes. Are there going to be some standards? Yes. Are there going to be some do's and some don'ts? Yes. Does love say I can do whatever I want to do?
No.
Love does not say that, amen? Let me get some books to our folks back there. Good to have you, dear folks, with us today. Amen. Appreciate you guys being here. Can we get your names?
My name is Terry Gardner.
I talked to you earlier this morning.
Amen.
Yes. Okay, now you are the missionary.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And these are?
My parents, Mimi and Stan Skaggs.
Amen. Good to have you guys with us today. Amen. I'm all right. Now, you guys knew the Taylors over in Okinawa? Okay. Now, you guys were at Maranatha?
We are not at Maranatha. We do a Japanese ministry.
Okay.
Japanese
okay.
Our mission board is the same, but we're separate ministries.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Okay.
And we actually ran a camp, and that's Jesse and Shireen helped our camp, and the kids all came. So we got to be there.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. Well, how do you say good morning in Japanese? I would repeat that, but I can't. So, amen.
Ohio.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, good to have you, dear folks, with us today. Amen. All right. So 25, victory, and we're on page 25, victory in a loving family. When love is there, there's going to be some do's and some don'ts. And so love makes the hard calls. When mama doesn't want to tell the children no, what does she normally do? Defer to dad. Go see your dad. If they don't want to say no, they often refer to dad. Dad doesn't want to say no, what does he often do?
Defer to mom.
Now, by the way, somebody's got to say no. Somebody's got to be the heavy, amen? And in the home, guess who's got to be the ultimate heavy? Dad's got to be the ultimate heavy, amen? And that's just the way it goes. And so oftentimes we don't want to do that. But where there's going to be love, and it says victory in a loving family. If love is going to be in the family, then there's got to be some standards. There's got to be some rules. Yep. Our kids just can't come and go as they please and do what they want to do. If I left my Joshua to himself, he'd eat ice cream and cake and sweets all day long. He is the king of sweets. He loves sweets. We try to get him to eat healthy stuff, and he says, well, I don't like that. I said, it doesn't matter what you like. What matters is what you need. I said, do you want your teeth to fall out, son? He says, well, no. I said, well, you got to eat some healthy stuff. He said, why can't I just eat what I want to eat? I said, because you just want to eat sweets. I said, and man shall not live by sweets alone. Amen. You need some greens. And so somebody's got to be the heavy. In my notes here, it says, in America, we have seen lately a rise in domestic violence. Whoa. And it says the highest murder rate for children under 5 today is by their own parents.
Wow.
You get that?
Amazing.
In America, there's a rise in domestic violence, and the highest murder rate for children under 5 today is by their own parents. The very place that they should be safe. Now, why are we seeing a rise in murder amongst children that are 5 and under? And we're not talking about abortion either. What's happening? What's going on with our culture? Give me some feedback. What's Jenny? Amen. And so it can become a cultural mindset that stems over. I've been told that it's not really, you know, a baby anyway. It's not really a life. And so when the baby comes out, it cuckoos and gagas and all this. But, you know, it's still really, you know, it's just a baby. You know, it's not really important. That could be some of it. Why else? Why are the children? Yes. Yeah. Drugs. Amen. A lot of it could be drug abuse, alcohol abuse. A lot of those things that go along with that. What else? Why are these children in such a danger right now, under 5?
I think it's because a lot of unwed mothers having kids, and then they're, you know, the other part of the father leaves, and then she has all the responsibilities. Sometimes she feels it's kind of overwhelming.
Amen. Amen. And by the way, my hat's off to any single mom. I've been with my children. My wife is not around. It is not easy. You know, my wife goes away, it's hard. So my hat's off to any single mom or any single dad as far as that goes. We'll get you, and then we'll get you in a minute, sis. Yes? Mental disabilities. I really don't have the mental capacities to do for the children as they need. Yes?
Growing up in a godly, you know, home, because, you know, it's in the church.
Amen. So educating spiritually, amen. That's true. The very place that should provide safety, nurture, and protection often becomes a place of strife and even danger. And that's sad. That's sad that a child that really does not know a whole lot and that is very dependent on the adults now has to be raised in a fearful environment. Now, if the child is raised in this type of environment, how do you think that child then is going to turn out and go into the culture, into our society? What is that child going to do? Do the same thing. I'm going to perpetuate that which I learned, and I'm going to make basically intensify that and make it a lot worse. So when you look at that, one of the things that I think that we can put on our society and a culture that lends to that, stress is a lot of it. We're a capitalistic society. Everybody wants money. And so now I've got to get out and I've got to work. And so now I left the children to the babysitters. And so now when I get back to the children, I'm actually very tired and stressed out. And so I really don't have time for these children because I'm tired. And so now I'll prop them up in front of the TV. And now they're watching things that they really don't need to see. And that's their mindset now. And so they begin to act out those things that they see. And I'm already stressed out. And when they act out those things, instead of me lovingly disciplining them, what do? I lash out at them and I hurt them. And not only stress, I think a lot of it is selfishness. I want what I want. And so when the child has needs, now they got to take away from me and what I want, and I don't like that. And selfishness and stress has a lot to do with it. And for the Christian, I believe a lot of it is I don't really have a steady biblical diet. Now, if I've got a steady biblical diet, the Word of God's going to put me in place. The Word of God's going to tell me what I should do. The Word of God's going to tell me what I shouldn't do. The Word of God's going to tell me where I should be and where I should not be. It's going to tell me where I should go and where I should not go. And so if I don't have a steady diet of the Word of God, guess what? I'm going to do certain things, and then I'm not going to do certain things. And so when you look at the statistics, I think that is tragic because I tell you what, I'm in the Word all the time. I'm in the Word of God all the time. And I still get stressed. I still get angry. So I can only imagine what people do when they're not in the Word of God. Because I'm human. Yes, Beth. Amen.
And so it's really difficult. It's not the way it used to be where, you know, mom, it was easier, I think, for mom to stay home.
Amen. And you hit the nail on the head in a lot of instances. The moms used to stay at home. There was that faculty or that facet that we had where there was a sense of stability. So the kids aren't being rushed here and there and everywhere. And that is a time that has gone past because of our capitalistic society. We are in such demand of money. We want to live a higher standard than we really need to live. And by the way, we don't need the two TVs. We don't need the two cars. We don't need the cable television. We don't have to have all that. But society has kind of told us that we've got to have it. And if you don't have it, you know, people are like, well, you don't have this and you don't have that. And, you know, I'm talking to young people now as young as 9 years old. Now, I've got a cell phone. You got a what? You're 9 years old. What do you need a cell phone for?
Now,
maybe I'm just old fashioned, but my kids aren't getting a cell phone until they need one. You know, they say, well, I'm going to get my one. That's more power to you. But my children don't need a cell phone. There's too much that they can do with cell phones today that I just don't agree with and I don't approve of. Amen. And so when they need one, they'll get one. My son said, well, Dad, when will I need one? I said, when I deem you need one. Amen.
Yes,
until that time, you're not getting one. Amen. But we live in a time now where things have changed in society and our culture has pushed things on us. And it is sad when the murder rate for children under five is highest amongst parents. Whoa. That's some parents that are stressed out.
Whoa.
That's some stressed out parents. And so for the Christian, believers are not exempt from the threats and the challenges that face families today. Being a Christian does not automatically guarantee that our homes will be what God means for them to be. We've got to follow his design for the family.
Yep.
And if we don't follow his design, the culture will suck us up and it will take us away. If you don't give your children some godly principles, if you don't have godly principles for yourself, and if you're not in this book on a regular basis, society is going to suck you up. And you will have that selfishness. You're going to have that stress. You're going to have that anxiety. And then when it comes time to take care of your children and they do what you don't think they ought to do, you're going to snap. You're going to lose it. Because God tells you how to handle situations in the book, the Word of God. Amen. And so when you look at this, to overcome the culture, our homes need to be a place of encouragement and love. And that's what says victory and a loving family at Roman numeral 2. Because we've got to have that. God does not intend for our children to have isolated lives. He wants them to be faithful to the house of God and hear preaching. He wants them to be exhorted and to exhort others. And our families need to be the place of love and support. And by the way, if they're not loved and supported by you, they will be loved and supported by somebody else. And it may not be the type of love that they need to have. It may be a different type of love altogether. So how can we have a home like that? A says wives encourage their husbands. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6. Show us something here. Because we're talking about victory and loving family. These children are going to come out and go into the culture. We live in this culture, and we have to have a loving family. A loving family is imperative, where love abounds in the home and forgiveness abounds in the home. I can't do it if I don't see it done already. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 6, and it says, wives encourage their husbands. And who's got 1 Peter 3, 6? Can you read that for me? Is it Bev? Yes, go ahead. Amen. Now, again, we don't live in Abraham and Sarah's time. We don't live in a time where wives call their husbands Lord. And that's not what the Bible is saying. Well, the Bible is saying, y'all saying, I'm not calling him Lord. Amen. He ain't far from Lord. Amen. And we're not talking about you calling him Lord. They're using an illustration of her submission to him. Because notice how it starts out in verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of wives. So speaking of a wife that maybe she's married to an unbeliever or a husband that acts like an unbeliever, he's saying if you do what you ought to do, you don't have to speak a word to him. Your life will speak volumes by itself of your godliness and your godly character. Verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. And that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, was in the sight of God of great price. So he says, make sure that what you do is not showy, it's not flashy, you're not trying to get his attention by how you dress and things like that. And that's not saying to be a slob and, and not dress nice either. But it's saying your drawing card, your attraction shouldn't be your outward appearance. Why? It's going to fade. I'm not going to always be this beautiful and attractive young lady. I'm not going to always have the figure that I have now. I'm going to go through childbearing, and it's going to change and alter me in certain ways. My hair may get shorter. It may get longer. It may fall. It may get gray. I may get wrinkles. I may get bags. I may get sags. I may get tags. Who knows? I'm going to change, and so that is going to change. So that should not be what I'm drawing. What should be drawing is what's on the inside. And that's why he says, let it be the hidden man of the heart. So he says, verse 5, for after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. Notice it says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are. So we're dealing with the submission that should be there in the life. And don't be alarmed when God begins to move in his life. And so wives encourage their husbands and that. These verses, verse number 6, is accenting her willingness to be submissive and supportive of her husband. Now, let's just be fair. Is there any such thing as a perfect husband? Now, I know some of the husbands probably say, well, I'm closest it's going to get to that. Amen. And that's your own prerogative. Amen. Was Abraham a perfect husband? No. What was Abraham notorious for doing? He's a man of faith. What did he do? Lied. She's my sister. Now, was she his sister, if the truth be known? In a way, yes. Was that her primary function to him? No. What was her primary function to him? Wife. But he said, well, you know, they might kill me over there because you're such a hot looker. And so tell them that your brother. And that way they won't kill me. So in other words, yeah, being selfish. So in other words, Abraham, are you telling me to lie? No, because that's kind of like the truth. You are my sister. You know the lineage. But am I acting as your sister right now, or am I your wife? You know what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to protect me. Well, last time I checked, I thought you were supposed to protect me. You're the man. Can you see the dialogue going on?
Yes, sir.
Do you think Sarah said any of that? I don't think she said any of that. I think she just said, it's your call. So Abraham was not a perfect man. Neither are we perfect. But did she still submit?
Yes.
The Bible says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord.
Right.
And so Abraham was not the perfect man. I'm sure she could have criticized him and done a lot of things. He lied. He lacked in faith. I mean, he went in at her request and had a child by Hagar, the handmaid. And so then she came by and said, kick him out. And he kicked them out. And then they came right back. They used to kick him out again. I mean, you think about what they had to go through, but she still submitted. Love goes through a whole lot. Wives encourage their husbands as aid. And wives need to encourage their husbands and strengthen their faith through love. And should the wife do for the husband because she has to or because she wants to? Because she wants to. Now, I don't want any of my wife and no part of her to do because she has to. Well, I guess I got to do it because I'm your wife. No, I wouldn't do it because she loves me. Now, is she going to get tired sometimes? Yes, she's going to get tired.
Mm-hmm.
Do I get tired sometimes? Yes, I do.
Yes.
But she submitted over here because she loved her husband. Sarah gave Abraham honor and respect. She encouraged him. No doubt there were many things she could have criticized him about, his lying, his lack of faith, the situation with Ishmael. Hagar, she could have criticized him for leaving home and going out at God's request. She could have criticized him for not telling anything about sacrificing Isaac. I mean, you just took my boy, the boy that I waited forever for, and you marched him out to the desert, and you thought about killing him? And you don't think I needed to know that?
You're right, Pastor.
Well, you might not let him go. You're right, I wouldn't let him go. That's why I didn't tell you. Amen. And so she could have criticized him for a lot of things. But the Bible still says she called him Lord.
Yep.
There were times when his faith failed, when his judgment failed, and he was not the perfect husband, neither are we. But there's something here that I want to read to you in the book. It says, Sarah encouraged him by her willingness to follow his leadership no matter what.
Right.
His lying, his lack of faith, the incident with Hagar, the sacrificing of Isaac. It goes on to say, wives have the ability, and this is key, ladies, listen to this. Wives have the ability to either greatly encourage or greatly discourage their husbands when it comes to doing right. Let me say that again. Wives have the ability to either greatly discourage or greatly encourage their husbands when it comes to doing right. Why is that? Why do wives have such a tremendous pull on the husband? Jenny?
Because our spirits are knit together, and if you build anybody up, they're more likely to make good choices because they want to keep feeling that positive feeling. But if you melt someone down, they just think, well, why try? It's not really good enough for you anyway.
Amen. Got a lot of merit there. By the way, Who bit of the fruit back in the Garden of Eden first, the man or the woman? The woman.
Woman.
How did the man get to bite the fruit? Persuasion by the woman. Did he know that it was wrong? What did you say?
She put it in
his mouth. That woman whom thou gavest to be with, she put it in my mouth. She said, open up. I got a surprise for you. Now swallow. How do you think I got this Adam's apple anyway? So, persuasion. The Bible says he knew. It said Eve was deceived in the transgression. It said the man being not deceived, he just ate wide open. I know this is wrong. What kind of pull did she have over him to make him do wrong? Now, Adam heard God loud and clear. Don't eat that tree. Which tree? That one right there. That one right there, God? That one. Don't touch that tree.
That's right.
I got some fruit. Where'd you get that from? That tree right there. God said, what you need from that tree? Oh, but Adam, look at me. She probably got those eyes rolling. Look at me, Adam. This is so good. Oh, and when I ate it, I just got this feeling. And if you get this and eat this, you'll get that same feeling that I have. And can't you see Adam saying, God, Eve. God, Eve.
Yep.
And he knew it was wrong. So, ladies, let me read this again. Wives have the ability to either greatly encourage or greatly discourage their husband when it comes to doing right. It goes on to say, many times in the ministry, a wife pulls her entire family away from church because something happened that she didn't like. Wow. I'm not making it up for you. That's what the book says. I think the author has some experience with ladies. How could a lady pull her husband and her entire family away from a church because something happened that she didn't like? And it didn't say it wasn't doctrinal. It said she didn't like it. How can that happen? And why does that happen? Mom ain't happy. Ain't nobody happy. Amen. And there's a lot of truth to that, amen. There's a lot of truth to that. But oftentimes, what has happened if it's come to that point? I mean, is leaving the church going to help the problem?
No.
No, I still got the problem. And so that I'm going to take the problem and go somewhere else. I still got the problem.
Yes, sir.
And so that doesn't do me any good because I'm still with, I haven't done anything. So it still goes back to that loving family. Now, the wife has got to encourage the husband, but now the husband's got to come back and encourage the wife and say something. What do ladies normally do to get their way? I put down nag, complain, gripe, not get along with their husbands, moody, withhold from their husbands. I know what I'm talking about. Oftentimes become reclusive. Sometimes become ill because I want my way. Mm-hmm. Now, ladies, what other ways besides those? Cry. Who said cry?
I like it.
Cry. Now, some husbands, go, I mean, they just grow impervious to crying. You can cry all you want to. Ain't going to change me, though.
I'm going back to mama.
Yeah, I'm going back to mama. Oh, that one hurts.
That's a good one.
That one hurts.
That's a good one.
I mean, my wife, one time early in our marriage, she only did it once. She called herself Carmen Davila and made me fiery mad. I said, I married you. Your name is Dawson. I'm Davila. We were young, 19 to 20 years old, just got married. You know, she got mad about something. And she said, I'm Carmen Davila. I said, you better put that Dawson back on that name.
Yeah.
And she stood there. She said, it's only once she said that. And she knew how much I hated that. I said, look, I married you. You are my wife. Green Acres, you are my wife. Hey, change. Amen. What else? We cry, nag, complain. What else do ladies do? Talking about culture here. What do we do? Come on, ladies. Y'all know y'all do it. Jenny?
You just breathe and then says what's wrong.
Say brood, not say nothing. What's wrong? Nothing, nothing. Nothing wrong at all. Something's wrong because when I married you, you were not like this. You know? What else do we do? What else? Get quiet, the silent treatment.
Yeah.
Just go around or this. Set the table. Let's eat. How you doing, honey? Fine. Mommy, can I go and play with Johnny? No. All right, food's done. Wash the dishes. You're like, what's going on with you? I'm mad. Not saying a thing, but just ate up. Fiery, feisty.
My goodness gracious.
Y'all know it's true.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
Men, we do it too. It's just different. Yes. All right, so to overcome culture, we need to work together. If you are a wife, provide your husband the respect and encouragement he needs. There's a multitude of things in the world to pull him down. God wants you to encourage him to do right, and he wants you to encourage him by doing right yourself. Amen. So wives encourage their husbands. Victory in a loving family. By the way, if the wife is encouraging her husband and working together with her husband, do the children see that? Yes. Do they also see this other example? Yes. And what do little girls pick up from that? That's how you do it. You slam things around. You get the silent treatment. When somebody asks you what's wrong, you say nothing. And so little girls pick that up. And so when they get their husbands, they have been trained, not by the Bible, but by the actions of the mom.
Right.
Same with the boys. The boys pick up from the dad how to love the wife. And they don't love or love depending upon how dad loves.
Right.
You know, I try to tell my boys, you treat mommy special. You treat Faith special. They are ladies. They said, but Faith is not a lady. I said, she will be one day. So you start practicing now. But she's not lovely. I said, the Bible doesn't say if she's lovely. The Bible says do it regardless. I said, this is practice now because one day, God's grace, you're going to have a wife. You're going to get married. And I want you to treat her with dignity and respect. You start working on your sister saying, no, not her. Basically, amen. And so they have a hard time with that one, amen. And we'll leave you with this one. Go to 1 Peter 3:1. I'm sorry, 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7, and where are my men at? Zach, read 1 Peter 3:7. Zach say, no. Or Chris. Chris like, no. Amen. In other words, husbands, love your wives, get right with them, otherwise you can't pray. That's basic in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. We have to learn our wives. Now, wives, do you guys change daily? Do you change monthly? Do you change weekly? Do you change yearly? Minutely, amen. Hot and cold from one minute to the next, amen. And it is up to us husbands to know every changing mood that you go through. So who's got the taller order now, the wife or the husband?
The husband does.
If I've got to dwell with my wife according to knowledge, I've got to know her. The word there is basically dealing with learn them, study them, like science. Yep. Know them. And so the Bible says husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, understand them, know them, work with them, and then knowing them, giving them honor,
yep,
as unto the weaker vessel. In other words, treating them like china. They're delicate. They're costly. They're fragile. You say, no, my wife's rough and tugged and tough and all this, and she can take it. She might be able to take it, but that does not mean you got to give it. Amen.
Amen, Pastor.
The Bible says that you ought to treat her this way. giving honor unto their wife as in the weaker vessel, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And so the weaker vessel there means that she's like a chinaware, or very delicate, and she should be treated that way because she is costly. So the husband's got to dwell with her according to knowledge. So when you look at that aspect of it, it says down here, husbands honor their wives. And so we're going to close with that verse today, and then we'll pick up with this next week. Proverbs 31:28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. The children aren't going to be able to learn how to praise the mom if the dad doesn't. The dad's got to rave over the food. The dad's got to rave over how she cooked and how she cleaned and how she sewed, and rave over this and that and the other. The dad's got to rave over everything that she does. There's only one thing that I don't rave over of my wife. My sons have picked this up, and I'm bad, bad dad, and that's her driving skills. And I taught her how to drive, so it's on me. And my sons will say, Daddy, Mommy doesn't drive like you. Can we drive with you instead? So I say, well, son, I taught your mother how to drive, and I'm not the best teacher. I taught her the bare basics to get her past the test. Amen. And so we have got to learn to praise our wives and honor them. And so as we're honoring them and as the wives are encouraging us, guess what? That's a marriage that's going to be loving and exciting and happy. And the children will see that and be able to raise up and call their parents and the mom blessed and go out into the culture and make a difference now because they have been raised in a godly atmosphere. And so when you deal with this kind of a setting and an environment, knowing our weaknesses, knowing men that we can be influenced negatively, we got to stay in the word and gird ourselves up a little tougher, knowing that we can be swayed. And we can't be so rough and tug and say, woman, that's foolish. I'm not going to do that. No, you still got to be loving. You still got to be understanding. Why are you bringing me that fruit? God said not to eat that. Get that out of here. Yeah. No, you can't treat her like that.
No, we can't.
It says giving, likewise, dwelling with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto wife as the weaker vessel. The Bible says that Eve was deceived. Mm-hmm. And so she didn't know any better. So knowing the frailty that God has given her, we've got to work with that and build her up and encourage her. Mm-hmm. And so when you deal with those two aspects, wives encourage their husbands, husbands honor their wives, that's a tall order. 1 Peter 3:7 is going to be our memory verse for next week. And then you say, why do we have to do that one? Because that's the toughest one. Amen. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So let's work on meditating on that this week. But if you don't take anything else home, take that statistic home with you. Children under the age of 5 are being murdered by their own parents, and it's an alarming rate. Let me read that to you again. Where was that one at here? In America, we have seen lately a rise in domestic violence. The highest murder rate for children under 5 today is by their own parents. That's sad. That's sad. The very place they should provide safety, nurture, and protection often becomes a place of strife and even danger. And that ought not be. That ought not be, especially when we have the blessed word of God that can make the difference. Amen. 1 Peter 3:7, let's meditate on that. Wives, encourage your husbands this week. Husbands, honor your wives. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. And God, help us today to be the type of people that we ought to be, that our children can be raised in an environment, that they can go out and make a difference in this culture for God. They can make a difference, Lord, seeing souls saved. They can be a difference, Lord, if we've got real faith, and we really are born again, and we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts, the Holy Spirit of God raised up in us, then, Lord, help us to make a difference and truly influence this culture. Lord, help us to first start with our own homes. Thank you for loving us now. Bless the refreshments next door. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Refreshments are right next door. Help yourselves to it. Got Terry Gardner here and her parents, missionary to Okinawa. Make sure you get a chance to shake her hand. I texted him. I got to go check my phone and see if he responded back.